The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
This is Steph up next at 10 a.m. every Saturday morning here on the Club 1220. It's Voices in the Valley. But first, from the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota, we have Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Good morning, Rebecca. I'm loving that it's summer.
Oh, yes, and what is a harbinger of summer night but the chirping crickets? Don't you love that?
I do love the sound of that. It's just like a lullaby almost.
It is, and it takes me back to when I was a kid. And you know, of course, crickets are not the most pretty thing to look at. But actually, they're really quite interesting. And believe it or not, around the world, in cultures like Japan and China, crickets actually bring good luck. So if you see or hear a cricket, you know, go to the lottery, buy a ticket, because apparently it brings good luck. But the one thing that's really fun about crickets is, first of all, the sound that they make comes from only the male. And it's the male trying to attract the female. And it's not a sound that comes from his throat or, you know, any part of his head. It actually comes from him rubbing his wings together. If you could believe it, that is such a loud sound from such a little tiny, little bug.
That's pretty amazing.
So that, I think, is really interesting. But what's better, you know, for me as a meteorologist, if I'm out and about on a summer night and I want to know what the current temperature is, listen to the cricket.
Really?
Because the number of chirps and a little bit of math wrapped around it will actually tell you the current temperature. So here's what you need to do. So count the number of chirps in 1 minute.
Okay.
Then you're going to take that total number, divide it by 4.
Okay.
And then you're going to add 40 onto it.
Okay. So let me.
And that should be the current temperature.
And that's the current temperature. So basically, you count the number of chirps in a minute, divide by 4, add 40, and that equals the current temperature.
Yes, it's not perfect, but it's super close.
That is so clever.
I know. I love it.
Oh, my goodness. So all you have to do is make sure that you count accurately and you're good to go.
You are good to go, yes.
Now, that's the type of word problem I wish they had given us in school, because that one's pretty interesting.
Well, it is. And for kids, it's a great way to practice their math, but to apply it in a way that makes it fun and useful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. So do you have anything for crickets at the farm store?
No, it's funny because crickets, you know, are a delicacy in many places around the world. And they're loaded, by the way, with protein and iron, which is why, you know, birds love to eat crickets. We don't sell crickets, but we do have mealworms. And that of course, is great for the bluebirds and many other birds. They're live. We also have dried, but the live ones contain huge amounts of protein, especially for the little babies. So it's, we carry them, you keep them in your refrigerator, and just fill up your little feeders as they need them.
I think that's really cool. Well, and I just have to say, Rebecca, I enjoy going to the farm store every week because there's always something cool to find there. And you always have new and interesting things happening. So it's truly a pleasure. So listening audience, head on down to the farm store on Main Street in lovely Stillwater, Minnesota. And you might even be lucky enough to see Rebecca some weekend. Thanks, Rebecca, so much.
You bet.
Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley following local student news. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Thanks to Water Street Inn for sponsoring Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Sweet dreams are never more inviting than at Stillwater's only waterfront hotel. Victorian suites, special attention to details, modern amenities. Find out more at waterstreetinn.us.
Reporting for The Shire, this is Emily Labs from Stillwater Junior High. The Stillwater School Board is looking for community feedback on the 2017 through 2018 school year calendar. Board members are considering two calendar options, one with a pre-Labor Day start on Monday, August 28th, and the other after Labor Day beginning on Tuesday, September 4th. Have an opinion? Let the school district know by voting on the district's website at www.stillwater.k12.mn.us. Summer Success, a highly interactive and engaging summer school run by the Stillwater School District, kicks off on July 11th. Hundreds of students in grades 1st through 7th have the opportunity to go back to school this summer to dance, sing, play, and learn as a part of an innovative and engaging summer school program. Designed to give students the opportunity to catch up with classmates and better prepare them for the coming year. St. Croix Preparatory Academy held its 6th annual Lions Open Golf Tournament and raised over $48,000 to support the athletics department. Matamidi's Community Resource Center will provide school supplies for students in need in the Matamidi School District on August 23rd and 24th from 9 to 4 p.m. at the Community Resource Center at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. Pre-registration is required by calling 651-762-9124. Twin Cities Orthopedics will be offering free sports qualifying physicals at 8 metro locations this summer, including their Lake Elmo office, 8650 Hudson Boulevard, Suite 100. To register online, go to www.tcomn.com/sportsphysicals. That's tcomn.com/sportsphysicals. This is Emily Labs reporting for the Shire.
Local student news sponsored by Chili Coop Cafe and Cyclery, located on 826 4th Street South in Stillwater, Minnesota. Chili Coop focuses on fresh and local ingredients and a customer's first bike experience. Our cafe specializes in food and baked goods made from scratch using local, sustainable, and organic ingredients. We are also a full-service bike shop focused in retail, repair, and fitting. We sell a wide range of bikes and are committed to getting our clients on the right bike at the right price with a great fit. Come experience this beautiful and cozy neighborhood cafe and cyclery on the South Hill in Stillwater. Check out our website at chilicootcc.com.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph and I'm here with Dee and with Jenna. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Very well.
You got your cup of coffee or your tea?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Or your water? Or whatever your favorite beverage of the day is. Well, we have a packed show today, ladies. We will start with a little hush report about the Shire's radio play to be performed at the Water Street Inn on July 28th. Before we focus on our topic today, inspiring stories. And Dina and Jenna, let me tell you, these stories are amazing. We have award-winning author Amy Zellmer, who will be joining us to tell us about her experience overcoming traumatic brain injury. Okay, Dina, did you know that every 13 seconds someone in the United States suffers traumatic brain injury?
I had no idea. That is shocking.
That's like over 3.5 million people per year just in the U.S. And Amy's story in overcoming this is just incredible. So I can't wait to talk with her. And then in the second half of our show, 11th grade student Greta talks with student host Emma about being a ballerina with scoliosis. Greta is an exceedingly talented dancer. She's been dancing from a young age, like so many young ladies. But then she discovered at the age of 13 that she had scoliosis and was forced to wear a brace. But the brace wasn't stopping the scoliosis, and so not that long ago, she had to have surgery to reduce the curves. The surgeon placed metal rods along 12 segments of her spine.
My gosh.
And this is what's so incredible about it. This eliminated all the movement at those levels. However, she's been able to make a comeback as a ballerina.
Now, is this a friend of Emma's?
This is a friend of Emma's, yes. She is currently at the Boston Ballet School Summer Dance Intensive, but then she'll be returning to the same dance school. Emma was at Ballet Royale Minnesota and training with the Twin Cities Ballet. So, yes, Emma danced with Greta at Ballet Royale. And
that's the place you used to have to drive 2 hours a day to get her to?
That's the place that I drove an hour there and an hour back to get her to Ballet Royale, because it's an incredible dance academy. And Rick and Denise Vogt, who run the school, are just fantastic.
They must be.
They do an exceptional job of training each individual at where they're at, obviously in the case of Greta as well. And they have professional training in a non-competitive environment. All kinds of classes, by the way. I even took a class once, so you don't have to be talented to take a class there. But if you are talented, there's an amazing program to work your way towards being an apprentice with
Twin
Cities Ballet. ballet and dance with a professional ballet company. So it's very cool, and we'll talk a little bit more about Ballet Royale later, but if you're curious now and you multitask, you can go on to www.balletroyalemn.org, that's balletroyalminnesota.org, and check them out.
Excellent.
While also, of course, listening to us, because right now, without further ado, it is time for the Hush Report. The Shire's audio drama team is writing, producing, and performing a radio play that will be recorded before a live studio audience at the Water Street Inn at 7 o'clock, Thursday, July 28th. Put that on your calendar. And for this week's Hush Report, to tell you what's going on with the play, we have Emma from the audio drama team. Hey, Emma,
hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
It's good to have you back. Tell me, what is going on with the podcast series Hush?
Well, the head writers and student director have condensed 87-page script down to 29 pages.
That is a long script.
And this Thursday, all the writers will get together for another revision session. Also, we will discuss details pertaining to the live showing of episode 1 on the 28th. And the composers are creating a musical score for the play, and sound effect technicians will meet again tonight for the sounds of the script requires. The audio drama team has also briefly discussed promotional ideas, and we've discussed not only promoting the episode, but the whole season of Hush, so stay tuned.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I cannot wait to experience this play when it happens. So thank you, Emma, for sharing that with us. And now we're going to move on to the next part of our show. We have Amy Zellmer on the line. Amy, are you still there?
I am.
Well, Amy, welcome. It is so nice to have you here on Voices in the Valley. Thank you for taking time out of your morning to join us.
Oh, and thank you for having me, Steph.
Well, it's very exciting because, Amy, you are an award-winning author, speaker, advocate, and a traumatic brain injury survivor. And, oh my goodness, you contribute to the Huffington Post? That's awesome.
I do. Thank you.
Well, that is very cool, as is your first book, Life with a Traumatic Brain Injury, Finding the Road Back to Normal. It was published in November 2015, and I understand you just recently received a Silver Seal in the Midwest Book Awards for that.
I did. Oh. Yes, that was just in May, and so that was very exciting.
Oh, congratulations, Amy. That is just wonderful. Well, maybe we could start out by you telling us what traumatic brain injury is.
Well, you know, traumatic brain injury is caused by a bump or a jolt or a blow to the head. You commonly hear the word concussion, and concussion is a form of a mild traumatic brain injury. You do not have to lose consciousness to have a brain injury. That's kind of a misconception out there. I did lose consciousness for maybe a minute or two, but I wasn't in a coma or anything like that. And a traumatic brain injury, it can vary. The names are deceiving, mild, moderate, and severe, because the titles are more of a medical title, and they refer more to your altered state at the time of the accident. And they really have nothing to do with the severity of your brain injury or the recovery of it. So the mild, moderate, and severe are just kind of technical medical terms. And as far as my symptoms, I would say mine were more in the moderate level, because it took me a good 2 years to start getting back to who I was.
Well, tell me what happened.
Well, February of 2014, I was walking down our driveway, which has a slight incline to it, and I had my little Yorkie in my arm at the time, and I hit just a piece of sheer ice that I didn't know was there, and my feet, it was like a cartoon, I'm sure. My feet literally, like, went out from under me, and I landed on the back of my head. My head took the full impact of my fall.
And what was that like? Did you realize? I mean, did you see stars, you know, the proverbial stars?
Oh, yes.
Or, yeah.
I knew right away I wasn't okay. I mean, I didn't think I had lost consciousness, but when my doctor kind of walked me through, you know, well, where was your dog when you sat up? And I'm like, oh, yeah, she had walked a ways away from me. So clearly I had lost some consciousness. But I remember hearing my head make that impact. And it's a sound I'll just never be able to erase.
Oh, my goodness.
But I remember sitting up and the excruciating pain on the back of my head. That really, really scared me.
Yeah, I bet.
And I was seeing stars and everything was... I knew I wasn't okay. I was real woozy, for lack of a better word, dazed and confused.
Yeah, I
knew I wasn't okay. Yeah.
So was it a quick recovery? Did it take you a while to recover? What were some of the big challenges you had to face?
Oh, no, I'm still recovering.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, I might never make a 100% complete recovery. I hope that I will, but that's the reality that I face.
Okay.
You know, I still suffer with a lot of short-term memory.
Okay.
I mean, I can literally bring up Google and forget why I brought it up in a matter of seconds.
Wow.
And it's really frustrating.
I bet.
That's my biggest challenge yet, is that short-term memory. And sometimes the cognitive challenges, I don't always, like you might tell me a sentence and I know the word that you're using, but I can't for the life of me think of what it means. And so I'll have to ask you, like, what does that mean again?
Oh, wow.
And so that's really frustrating, you know, like I know I used to know what those words meant.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, that would be frustrating. Well, tell me, Amy, because it just sounds like you have had quite the experience, and it's so inspiring to think that you have gone from, you know, being flat on the pavement to now being able to not only recover to a great extent, but help and serve others with what you've learned. How do we find out more information about this, and where can we find your book?
My website is facesoftbi.com. I also have a Facebook group if anyone listening is a survivor or a caregiver or has a loved one dealing with it, and it's called The TBI Tribe, and that's on Facebook. We have about 4,200 members.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and my book you can find either on my website or on Amazon. It's on Amazon.
Wow. So The TBI Tribe is your Facebook page, is that correct? And could you repeat your website one more time as well for people?
It's facesoftbi.com.
Wow, that's really valuable to have those resources available. Thank you. Do you have one tip that you might give to people who may be suffering from TBI?
Yes. Find a group of peers, whether it's like my Facebook group or if you can find a support group locally. Care on other people going through what you're going through, because it can be very, very isolating and you feel like you're the only one dealing with the struggle, because people who haven't experienced it just don't understand the depth of what we're going through. So the Minnesota Brain Injury Alliance is also another really great resource.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much for coming on to Voices in the Valley today. We do appreciate it. Next up, after our barn-raising moment with Jeff Regal, we will have student host Emma. Emma, you're back! Interviewing Greta, an 11th grade dancer who has overcome scoliosis to become a beautiful ballerina and performer with Twin Cities Ballet. This is Steph. You've joined a barn-raising moment here on Voices in the Valley. Back in the olden days, pioneers would gather to raise a barn for each other. Today, in a similar way, experts in the community share tips and resources that will build up the lives of our audience. In today's barn-raising moment, financial planner Jeff Regal shares tips on how to put your money where your mouth is. Jeff Regal is a financial advisor with securities and investment advisory services offered through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. Jeff, thanks for coming on. That was a mouthful.
It was.
Well worth saying to have you on the air here with Voices in the Valley. When I heard you speak at the Sustainable Stillwater event a few weeks ago, you spoke with such, and I love this word, bombast, about incorporating your passions into your everyday work. How did you become so passionate about what you do?
Well, thanks for having me, Stephanie. It was great to be invited to speak at that event and help out with the booth at Citizens Climate Lobby. You know, I wanted to embrace my passion for the environment. You know, as a professional engineer, I used to put my money where my mouth was and walk the talk. I had early realized early and often that the best way to make a change in the world was to vote with our wallets and support the technologies and companies that could make a difference for the better and ignore those that didn't. Often I would run into like-minded folks who wanted to wonder, how can they make a difference and make sure that their dollar counts and to be part of the positive change that was going on all around them? So I struck out on my own as an independent contractor backed by a company that provides supportive independence. I knew that I could build a business that helped people plan for the future and worked in their best interest. Then I could help them move, you know, take away the fear, the stress, the energy drain that dealing with finances often creates and get them back to their passion of their lives, saving the planet, you know, that we all share.
Well, as a working mother and someone who struggles monthly, daily with making sure that I am caring for my family, I mean, I love your passion, Jeff. How can I bring that into my own life?
Well, Steph, that's a great question. You know, all too often we get bogged down in the day-to-day, you know, minutia of our lives, our jobs, our families, and we love them. But, the problems seem all too big, like this huge wave about to crash over us. And what we have to remember is we're not alone, you know, that our dollar is mighty. And our dollar is powerful, maybe not by itself, but when used with other like-minded folks, it can go against all odds and affect positive change, whether it's buying one product over another due to the policies of the topic you care about, or donating to your favorite charity, or even talking to your HR department about socially conscious options in your retirement plan. You know, 90% of making a difference is just showing up. Do something. It doesn't even have to be a monetary contribution. You know, for example, part of my job as a fiduciary and financial planner is finding new clients, people who like me and are like me. Who wouldn't want to spend all day working with their friends on topics that you care about?
Oh, I mean, I would. I think that sounds awesome. So if I'd like to hear more about sustainability, Jeff, what can I do? How can I connect with you?
Well, thanks, Stephanie. You know, if people want to get a hold of me to talk about sustainability or, you know, what I do as a green or fiduciary financial planner, just give me a call at 651-483-1411. Again, that's 651-483-1411.
Well, thanks, Jeff, so much for sharing your expertise on Voices in the Valley. Listen in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on the Club 1220. And in the meantime, connect with Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie. Great to be here.
The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as investment advice. Any opinions expressed are those of Jeff Riegel and not necessarily those of Waddell & Reed or its affiliates. Waddell & Reed is not affiliated with any other entities referenced herein. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 651-483-1411.
This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and if you are just tuning in, you're joining us for the last half of our show when student hosts interview our guests. Emma is here from Stillwater Area High School, and she joins her friend Greta from Lakeville South High School to learn more about Greta's remarkable story of dealing with scoliosis. Emma and Greta met at their ballet academy, Ballet Royale, in Lakeville, Minnesota, and have become friends ever since. So, hi, Emma. Welcome, Greta.
Hello.
Hi.
It's good to have you ladies here. Well, Greta, I just have to tell you, I admire you so much. And in fact, I know many people think you're amazing, including Rick and Denise Vogt at Ballet Royale. Ballet Royale is making this interview possible today with their sponsorship of the interview. And Greta, it is truly a gift to be inspired by your story. And so I'm very grateful and thankful to you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, Emma, I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you have lots of questions to ask your friend.
Okay, so Greta, I think I met you when I was 13 or 14. It was my first time coming to Ballet Royale. And you already had scoliosis at that point, right?
Yeah.
So when did you discover you had scoliosis?
I discovered I had scoliosis when I was 13.
Oh, so pretty much
when we were meeting. Yeah.
Wow. And for people who don't know, can you tell us what scoliosis is?
Scoliosis is basically a curvature of the spine. So my spine was shaped like an S instead of like a straight line. So,
well, with your scoliosis, it has made ballet different than most girls' training. How has scoliosis been with your ballet training?
Well, I had to wear a brace all the time when I wasn't dancing. So ballet was a time where I could take off my brace and I didn't have those restrictions. And I I believe that ballet really helped me in my scoliosis because I believe that without it, I don't think I would have, it would have gotten a lot worse, a lot faster.
Yeah, and I remember teachers being really conscious. That's one mm-hmm. of the great things about mm-hmm. Ballet Royale. I remember they just are so detailed about everything.
Yeah.
When you finally got the surgery that would straighten your spine more, I remember I came to visit you with our friend Christina, mm-hmm. and you were a little out of it.
Yeah, I was.
You blinked a couple of times more than usual.
Yeah.
But I just remember you being so positive and just strong, and I remember being so struck by it and inspired by it. What has helped you in your life find that inner strength?
Well, I would say I prayed a lot about it. My family prayed a lot about it, and I had a lot of support from my friends and my family. And they were always there when I needed someone to talk to. And that was just really great to have, and they helped me to stay positive.
And that's so fantastic, and it really worked for you because we were all so impressed with you at the studio. When you got out of your surgery, you started with lower classes. Mm-hmm. To gain up strength and understand where your body was at. And then, like, out of the blue, you were back as a trainee at Twin Cities Ballet in, like, the highest level. And I was like, whoa, how did you do that? So how did you do that?
Well, I think that since I started so slow, and all the teachers at Ballet Royale were so supportive, and they knew exactly what to do, even though no one's ever been through that before at our studio, but they knew exactly what to do. And I didn't have any setbacks because of that. And so I was just able to get back.
We were just so impressed. And I've always thought you were such a beautiful dancer. Everybody is jealous of your beautiful extensions. And you talk about the brace and mm-hmm. how that seemed to almost restrict you in a way. Was it freeing after the surgery to be able to get rid of it?
You know, I didn't really think about my brace again until after I was recovered, and I was like, oh, where is that? Like, I don't have my brace. Because when I first got the surgery, I was so out of it, and I wasn't thinking about anything. But it was definitely, it's really cool to not have to wear a brace anymore, and I'm really grateful that I don't.
So what happened to it? What did you do to it?
I still have it. It's in my closet. I was going to maybe, like, run it over with a car, but that hasn't happened yet.
Okay, I just have to say I try to stay out of these interviews so that it's really student-focused, but that was fantastic. So I just have to add that editorial comment. And one more question, too. Greta, how long did you dance before you found out you had scoliosis?
Well, I started to dance when I was really young. Like, I've been dancing pretty much my whole life. And by the time I found out I had scoliosis, it had already gone to a point where I needed to be braced right away.
Okay.
So I don't know how long it was that it was going on before.
So that must have been, if you were 13 when you found mm-hmm. out, that must have been really shocking to you.
Yeah.
Especially for a beautiful ballet dancer, which you have always been.
Yeah, it was... Because no one in my family has ever had it. It was something that was totally new. I didn't know what it was. And, yeah, it was...
And Emma was telling me you have a blog that
yeah,
you write?
I do.
Would you tell us about that blog?
Yeah, I have a blog that I started a couple or maybe the year after I was diagnosed. So I've been doing it for about 2 years now. The web address is lifewiththecurve.weebly.com. And I just, like... talk about the time I had with my brace and about my surgery, and it was just another way that helped me to stay positive, keep things in perspective, because I could write about it and feel like I was helping other people.
So if I want to go and read your story, I can go type in Life with the Curve,
mm-hmm.
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Dot Weebly,
mm-hmm.
Weebly,
mm-hmm.
dot com.
Yes.
Wonderful. Greta, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
It is delightful to have you on the show. And Emma, thank you for your great questions.
Always like talking to Greta.
Oh, yes. And hey, if you can do it in front of, 50,000 people, even better.
Whatever.
Oh, ladies, it's been fantastic. Many thanks to Ballet Royale Minnesota for making this interview possible. Ballet Royale is home to Twin Cities Ballet of Minnesota and is a premier dance academy where individuals pupils of all ages and abilities receive the finest professional training in a healthy, nurturing, and non-competitive environment. Find out more at www.BalletRoyaleMinnesota.org. That's www.BalletRoyaleMN.org. Next week, we have a special show welcoming the Mid-Continent Oceanographic Institute and learning about their newly released book, Up, Up, and Away. Sixth grade student Aja will be joining us to do a reading from the book, and we'll learn about the important work MOI does to support writing and storytelling for under-resourced students. Special thanks to Water Street Inn, Chilicoot Cafe and Cyclery, Ballet Royale, and Jeff Regal at Waddell and Reed for their support of Voices in the Valley. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 10 in the morning here on the Club 1220 KLBB. Now go and write.